quite.
Is this good for me?
Yes. I believe it was.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for the debate. It's a good treat. Yoni! Okay, we're tracking down a very complicated sugya. Building a sugya the way it's supposed to be built. Piece after piece after piece, and then we'll tie it all together. We're trying to understand what exactly is this yisurin, the suffering and the burdens that Klal Yisrael have borne. We see that somehow it's connected to Yitzchak Avinu. It's something to do with the Akedah. The Akedah has something to do with the Tafkid of Avraham Avinu, and the Tafkid of Avraham Avinu has something to do with Bechira. You have to have the Rosh HaKrokim here really, very well. You've got to be holding. You understand that there's a Yisurim as an inheritance. This ability to withstand Yisurim is an inheritance that we got from Yitzchak Avinu. Remember why, Simon, we're trying to find out about Yisurim, because you have a mitzvah asad eraisa to be kabul Yisurim ba'ava. So you better find out how to do it. How do we do it? Well, we get it from Yitzchak. Yitzchak got it somehow. It's connected to Avram's nisoyin. Right, we said that Avraham Avinu had two specific tafkidot missions, which we're going to be working through now, and it has something to do with bechira. It has something to do with being able to choose not to follow your natural tendencies. It's the definition of bechira we're battling with at the moment. Adam Rishon got given the bechira to listen to the Dvar Hashem or not. After Adam's sin, he was dovuk teva. He became immersed in the physical world. It took Avraham Avinu to come along and extract us from that using his bechira to not go after his natural tendencies. That's kind of what we're holding at the moment. Okay, we're in the Reish Chaf right at the bottom. Avraham Avinu achzei al Hashem b'tzorach k'v'yochel es ha'yochid shebishvilo nivra elav. Who was the individual, and I mean that literally, that the world was created for? Was Adam Rishon. But he blew it. So now the world's going on generation after generation after generation, and a person, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, there's no one in around. Nobody. Noah came as close as he could, but he didn't make it either. Rambam says Noah was one of those that angered Hashem. All the generations, 10 generations from Adam to Noah, and from Noah to Abraham, and they all angered Hashem until Abraham came along and got back the tafkid of Adam Arishon. Meitel Shokulam or something it says, yeah. Actually, Gi Avraham Avinu, the Gile Sabechia Mitis Sikoya, who Shelol Asoes, Kahola Aile Mesaruach, Alaruach, Kahola Aile Alaruach, until Avraham Avinu came along and revealed this unique Bechira, the essence of which is to do, is not to do whatever, just, you know, whatever you want to do, whatever comes on your mind. But Adar Rabbah, rather, the job here is to fight against all those natural tendencies that prevent a person from doing what he's supposed to do. Avraham Avinu hachlit ki hu yachsi l'kodesh baruch hu es dugmas Adam Arishon. Avraham Avinu decided to give back to HaKodesh Baruch Hu that which he lost, which was what? Which is what's called dugmas Adam Arishon, whatever Adam Arishon was supposed to be. Es ha'yochid shebishvilo nivra elam. Avraham Avinu said, you had an Adam Arishon who was a Yochid, who the world was created for. I want to be that person. I want to be that person the whole world was created for. V'chayinu ha'imen. Ani ha'yeh zeh she'inatzel es koyach ha'bechira bo'ifen ha'nochon. I will be that one which will save, which will extract the correct bechira in the correct way. Ani evcha neged ritzoni ativi. I choose to go against my natural desire. ואחרי הקדוש ברוך הוא עמיד עושה בניסיונס שבהם היו עליו להתגבר לא רק על דחופים טבעים גסים. הקדוש ברוך הוא therefore set up for him ניסיונס test, if you want, for lack of a better, very crude translation of the word ניסיון, in which he would have to strengthen himself not just on the sort of the crude physical drives, elegam al rikshes tivim adinim beyosa, but also against the very subtle, natural senses, the very natural tendencies, feelings perhaps, not against the to be an animal and to gorge yourself on whatever, but some very subtle sort of subterranean senses. He fought against the natural feelings and desires to live when he got thrown into the Kibshon Aish. It's amazing. We all have a deep natural desire to live, you know that? We don't think so. But try and get somebody to throw you off the edge of a cliff. It's not so simple. You ever try to kill a cockroach? They don't die that easy. They run and they chop. In the tether, there's a desire to live. Flies are not that easy to kill. What does he care if he dies or not? What's he worrying about? His Olam Haba, he's worrying about what will be with his children. There's a deep, just in the prayer, there's this thing that says, I want to survive. You might be all miserable and bummed out, wondering whether life's worthwhile or not, but get someone to take you to the window on the second floor and try and throw you out. You don't just go. You put up quite a fight, no? See, there's a very natural desire to live. So Avraham Avinu throws himself, gets thrown into the Kibshon Ha'esh. You got to war with that natural desire inside of you to live. He's happy to give up his life. Otherwise, he would just say, "Look, I'm not prepared to die. Okay, Nimrod, you win." It's not so posh. What about the natural love that a father has for his son? He had to go to war with that one when he threw his son out of the house. He had to throw Yishmael out of the house. He didn't know Yishmael was going to survive. And had Yishmael not, the Malach had not revealed to her where the water was, whatever, Yishmael wouldn't have survived. So gam nelechem b'tchilas davkei b'regesh ha'mishpachti ve'azev es'atzer molaretoy ve'beisoviv. He had to fight against the normal feelings of family that a person has. He had to leave his family, the place where he lived, his country. They say one of the third most stressful thing that a person can do is move home. Move home. Immigrate, move to another country, whatever. Under the best of circumstances. No? He's got money, he's being transferred jobs, whatever. Isn't the third stressful thing a person can do?
What's the first?
Death of a close relative, Rahman Islam, divorce, and moving home. These are not Torah statistics. I'm just saying that's like the. If you look at the stress graphs that people have done, statistics or whatever, what's out there, I mean, you can relate to that. Moving's tough. Immigrating's hard. And giving up your family, your beliefs, your the place where you live, your country, your house, your father, your family, the whole support system. That's big stuff. That's one of the biggest things this generation has to grapple with in coming back to Yiddishkeit. It's very often connected your family. It's not so posh. You have to give up your support system in order to do this sometimes. But there are Allah Avraham Avinu Madregel Adarga Nidarga Ladarga Misoy Lisoy. In this way, Avraham Avinu went from one level to the next level, from Misoy to Nisoy. More and more he was able to nullify his desire in the face of Hashem's desire. He's using his entire bechir that was given to him in the correct way. He completed his tzura, his form, whatever that means. The tzura sa adam anachoina. He made himself into what's called the correct form of what a human being is supposed to look like. Adam hamasugli hidnatek minachoime. It's a man who is able, he has the ability to remove himself, to disconnect himself from choime. From the gashmis, from the physicality, and to cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a total cleaving. That's a Zayda we're talking about, eh? That's Saba, that's grandpa. That's mom, your grandpa.
But Rav, that's how did that work? He was so young and everything. How did he find all the strength?
Slowly, no, this was over his whole lifetime.
Yeah, but when he was thrown in the fire, he was first thrown in a pit and everything. He's so young and to stay strong and keep such a strong head and such focus. It's abnormal. It's impossible.
Well, we see it was possible. You see, he managed to do it. Yeah. what degree he got Siyata Dishmaya that other people never got Siyata Dishmaya, whatever, I don't know. But you see, he managed to get in touch with his Bechira, and he didn't have done it. I mean, there were young children that gave up their lives while they kissed crosses. So what was the big deal with Avraham? Because they inherited it from him. That's what we do. We have that ability in us today because Avraham Avinu did it. How did he do it? He was the first one that did it. Because he was Avraham Avinu. Was he some special neshama that was more masugal to do it than some other neshama? Don't know. Was he like a higher neshama that came into the world specifically for that task? Could anybody else have done it had they used the Bechir in the same way? Don't know. The fact is, he did it, no one else did it. So you see how hard it was, and no one else did it. Okay, he raised himself up. Josh?
I don't quite follow. What's the connection between the Bechira and Avram's ability to do such amazing things?
He was able to do it because of his Bechira.
What does that mean?
It means he has natural tendencies on the one hand, and then you have a thing which is Bechira, which you use to fight your natural tendencies. You make choices with your natural tendencies. It's a hot Yom Kippur day, and your natural tendency is to drink a ice cold glass of water, but your Bechira says no. You fight your natural tendencies. It's a very crude example. And you make a Bechira decision. Most of us don't even make Bechira decisions on Yom Kippur anymore. That's also become part of the heritage. But let's say it's your first time, whatever, and you struggle and you battle, and you don't have the ice cold cup of water. So that's your Bechira. You're making a choice to go against your natural tendency. By the way, self-growth and development is probably the most important tool that you have. Torah psychology is all about Bechira. You have a natural pattern that you function according to. How do you break that pattern? By making Bechira decisions as opposed to running on automatic. That's how you go about changing. You have a certain very well-worn pattern in a relationship with somebody. You know, he says this and you say this, and then within 30 seconds you're screaming, you're punching each other. You can use your Bechira to break that pattern. So everything, that's how it works. The goal of it is become more and more of al-Bechira, acting less on compulsion and more on choice. That's the goal.
So you say it comes naturally, or you still have that ability? Sorry, it comes naturally, but there's no... You lose that.
Rav Dester says there are certain things which are above your, what he calls Nekudat HaBechira, your point of Bechira. There's something that are way above you. I mean, you have Bechira right now to, I don't know, do whatever. There are things that are way beyond you. And the things that are way below you that you would never think of doing. Put a piece of chaz in front of you now, would you eat it? No, why? Because of Bechira? No, you have no desire. Mm-hmm. You walk into the store now and you don't steal. That's because you're using your Bechira not to steal. You just it's your nature already.
So when you're from a new impulse to do a certain thing, you know that you've grown further because you know that beforehand that could have been part of the Bechira, and now it's...
If you've had a struggle of Bechira in that area and now it just becomes part of your nature, then you've moved on to the next job. Then your Nekudat HaBechira, the Nekudat HaBechira has moved to a new struggle. There's a positive and a negative. The positive, you start doing it out of habit. You put on tefillin today because you put on tefillin yesterday. Well, that's not good. You put on tefillin today because you're making a Bechira decision to put on tefillin today. It's like there's a negative and a positive. It used to be a big thief and whatever, and you couldn't help it. Whenever you went into the store, you had to steal something, and now you mamas, you fought, you sweated, you've gone to Thieves Anonymous, and 5 years later, you walk in there and Boch Hashem, you don't even have a desire to steal anymore. Yeah, that's brilliant. That's fantastic. That's a big celebration. But it has a negative in the mitzvahs. We daven like we've been davening all our lives. We put tefillin. We do mitzvahs like we've. That's a danger. You have to put. You have to continue to be using your bechira to serve Hashem, opposed to running on automatic.
The question on that just says that the whole point of routine is that you can utilize it in order to do good things. Meaning it's
true, of course, but you have to be careful. There's a danger there. There's a real danger of using habit. That's what it says. Hergel nasa teva. It's exactly the lotion we're using. The repetition of something now becomes part of your teva. So that is a positive side and a negative side. Use it positively, but at the same time be very careful. When you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing as hergesh, you shouldn't be doing mitzvahs out of habit. So you think there's a danger there. You have to be careful. It's like everything in the world. Use it well or don't. Choose. נוסידון בין כי התפקיד הראשון שנוטל אבן הבינו על עצמו על לחזור ולחיוס או יש יוחיד שבשביל נבוא לה ועל ידי כן לדבק בהשם יספרח comes that the first thing we see is that Aaron Rishon, the first tafkid of Aaron Rishon took upon himself was to return and to live like that individual who the world was created for, and via that to cleave to Hashem. That's the first thing he did. Yeah, started living as a Baal Bechira as opposed to a Baal compulsion. The lesson the Baal Bechira use for this is unpredictability. Somebody's a Baal Bechira is unpredictable. You can never predict what he's going to do because he's using Bechira. You never know what Bechira is going to kick up. If he's riding on habit, that's poshut what he'll do. He'll just do what he did yesterday. But a Baal Bechira is going to reevaluate the entire new situation and make a new decision. Torah tuned unpredictable. Of course. But he's unpredictable. You don't know what he's going to choose. And that's why you find the Tshuvas and the Hanhogas of the Gedolei Yisrael are sometimes a little bit confusing for us. Because one day you seem doing this, the next day you're doing this. It's a Baal Bechira. He's using his Bechira to make decisions. He's not just acting out of habit. One minute you can be very harsh with the person, the next second very soft, very demanding. Baal Bechira. They don't know what I need. The wonderful Maaser of Chodosh tells about Rav Asserman Zatzal. He was on a fundraising tour with Rav Asserman. So in the free time they would learn. Rav Moshe, the son. The Rosh Yeshiva Ruch Hanan.
Which?
Rav Simcha. So they were fundraising, whether they were in America or whatever. So Rav Simcha was giving a share that afternoon in some shul. And afterwards they were going to meet him with some Rav. So they spent the whole morning, they were learning the Reb Chaim on the Sugya that he was going to give the share on. Mama, you can imagine Reb Chodosh and Reb Simcha learning Reb Chaim. So you know, they went into Reb Chaim properly. So he gets up to speak in the shul and he's giving the share, whatever, and the Rav says, but that's Mefush Reb Chaim! And Reb Simcha like embarrassingly kind of accepts the fact that he could be right, but he hasn't seen the Reb Chaim. And kind of like, and accepts the challenge of the Rav with all the confidence, sort of like, you know, sort of like apologetically gets embarrassed because like he hasn't seen the Reb Chaim. And the Rav like wins and off they go, yeah? So Chodosh says, I don't understand. What have been doing for the last 6 hours? You know, this is, we're talking about a man that knew Kulu Torah Baal Peh. Rishonim, Achronim, Baal Peh. He didn't forget what he'd learned three minutes ago. So he said, listen, I'm leaving town. The Rav has to live with these children. Right? The Rav has to have confidence, people have to look up to him in the shul. Well, they have to look up to me. I'm leaving. They don't need me, but the Rav has to have confidence for the Rav. So what must I do? Shrug up the Rav in front of his whole Kehillah? So they didn't think the Rav's a big problem with Chocham. What's the problem? 5 minutes later they're having a meeting with the Rav of another community privately or whatever, and they're also saying things in learning or whatever, and Rav Simcha wipes the floor with it. He brings from yeah and mamash kills the guy, mamash, but left him with like not a breath left. Every time he said something, Rav Simcha shlubbed him by 20 rise why he was wrong or whatever. So afterwards Rav Chodosh said to him, can you explain this to me or whatever? He said, yeah, the Rav said certain things like that words in line with, you know, Das Torah or whatever, and you need to put in his place. It's a Baal Bechira.
Was it in the
private? Okay, fine. Okay, but still, you think Reb Simcha is doing it because of his anava? Why Reb Simcha, you know, take out this role for the Reb Chaim or whatever? He's anav. He's humble. He doesn't want to show off. But yeah, he's showing off. See, it's got nothing to do with him. It's a Bechira decision. What serves Klal Yisrael best? What serves Klal Yisrael best now that I'm going to be an anav and I'm going to be a little bit embarrassed? Fuck, be embarrassed. What serves Klal Yisrael now that I'm going to put my foot down and I'm going to show? How big a time to not, yeah. And that's what necessary. That's Bechira. I'm just giving an example of, maybe not the best example, but it's a nice story anyway. To show you that's Bechira. Because I'm an on-off. So I'm an on-off. So it's got sneerly, you know, this Rav's got a whole thing. So I could slug him out, but I'm going to be an on-off. Who cares if you're an on-off or not? You have to do what Klal Yisrael needs right now. That's Bechira.
Isn't that the Bechira when, like, for example, he's got a problem with Gaiva, and then one, suppose the same similar situations, one time he succeeds and one time he fails? That's really the Bechira.
You mean that could have been the issue, yeah? Yeah, except Reb Simcha was Kula Nova. Yeah, but you have to understand, anyone in Europe, Simcha knew he was Kula Nova.
So then it's not a.
It's a Bechira decision. Bechira decision was you see that when he needed to be fiery and display his full range of Torah knowledge, he had no problem doing that. There was a bigger strain for him, by the way, than self-effacingly say, I'm sorry, I haven't seen the Reb Chaim. It's much easier for Reb Simcha to say, I'm sorry, I haven't seen the Reb Chaim, than for Reb Simcha to blast somebody with his full knowledge of Torah. I can assure you, anybody who knew Reb Simcha knew that he spent more energy hiding his greatness than being great.
I understand how you can determine consistency based on two different examples. Consistency is...
I'm just showing you that it's a bechira. A man is using his decision. Now I need to be self-effacing. Now I need to attack. It's unpredictable. What would you have predicted Reb Simcha would have done? You don't know. There's no way to predict what he would have done. Reb Moshe, who was closer to Reb Simcha than anybody, certainly learning, and they spent hours and hours together, the front runner was ever, he found that behavior disarming. That's what I mean by unpredictable. But it's totally tuned unpredictability. When you have it explained to you, you see exactly where it fitted the situation. Give me an example of that. I'm going to stop. Contradictory psakim, and one area he did this, another area he did that, and whatever. And it looked on the surface to be completely contradictory, but when you understood it, you saw it fits it perfectly. The situation demanded this, the situation demanded this. It's Bechir. I'll give you a very, very crude example. Excuse the example. Take a heroin addict. Yeah? You take out his tracker, you take out his file for the last 10 years. So you could predict his behavior tomorrow very, very accurately. Yeah? Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How much is he going to use? Same with yesterday and the day before. And the day before. Ignores him, huh? Why? Because that's an addict. There's a compulsion driving him. If one day he would wake up and not use heroin, that would be a surprise, right? So that's unpredictable. It could only be because either there's a miracle taking place or he decided to start using his bechira. But as long as he's acting out his compulsion, you can predict his behavior with a certain degree of accuracy. And we're all addicts.
It does.
In what way?
Your behavioral patterns don't sort of seem to play out to sort of predetermine.
The religion as well, the doubling. Are you doubling
because we're all addicts, yeah. I was once in the process of setting up a drug rehab center in South Africa. A program, not a center, a program, Jewish drug program, whatever. And I remember discussing, like, the enormous, Tetz reminded me, that was what got him on the, his whole share in the soinus we adapted to use in drug rehab programs and whatever, and I got him involved in the 12 steps. He once gave a share in Osamach in Johannesburg, how the 12 steps represent the 12 pathways that a Baal Tshuva has to go through. The 12 steps that the Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous use and whatever. So I introduced him to the 12 steps, and I showed him, I remember being very amazed about it. I'm speaking to my Rebbe about it, and he said, yeah, we're all addicts. He said, what's an addict? Somebody who keeps doing the same compulsive type of behavior. You want to work on your meters, you want to change and whatever, and what happens? You keep slipping back and slipping back. So what? So we're not chemical addicts, so we're behavioral addicts or meter addicts. But if you look carefully, that's what addiction is. It means I keep going back to the same negative behavior the whole time. I can be used positively as well. You can get addicted to something in a positive way. That's what you said earlier. There's a bechira that like the Cheshbon HaNefesh says, it can be used very positively. You have to know how to use it. Addiction's a tool. It can kill you as well. It's a very positive tool, by the way. Very positive tool. Part of chinuch. That's a major underlying function of chinuch. What's the danger? The danger is that you produce a whole bunch of robots. I mean, they seem to be roboting in the right way. At least these robots are doing what seems to be the right thing, but then they're robots. The job is to create a robot who has bechira. That's a difficult challenge. It means growing with your Torah. That's what's a poshut. It's easier for a Baal Tshuva, because a Baal Tshuva, when he first encounters Torah ideas, he's encountering them as an adult. So when he first learns about Avraham Avinu, when he first learns about the concepts in the Torah, he's encountering them as an adult. So he has a 25-year-old perspective on who Avraham is. So when he's 40, he still has a 25-year-old perspective of Avraham. That's tragic, but it's not as tragic as a 25-year-old who has a 6-year-old perspective on Avraham. For the FFB, he goes to Cheder when he's 3 or 4 and he learns about Avraham Avinu, and that's it. And now he's stuck. Now he's stuck with a 4-year-old picture of Avraham Avinu. Now he's 25 years old and he's still looking under the 5-year-old picture of Avraham Avinu. That's tragic.
You're talking about student people.
I'm talking about the vast majority of the Torah.
How do you get around that?
You have to keep upgrading. Each year you have to understand a bit more. You have to learn a bit more. And you have to grow. And you have to keep learning. You chat in. You know, each year we go back and we learn the past. We go, I remember this thought. And you say the same thought. No, go look deeper. Go look more. Go find more.
How can
Bechira
exist with an addiction?
No, it can't. If you're addicted in that area, you don't have Bechira. That's compulsion. There's no Bechira there. There's no unpredictability there. The job is to break the addiction by introducing Bechira.
have you got to break the end?
I don't use the word break. Break doesn't. Acceptance, awareness, choice. Acceptance, awareness, choice. That's the process. There has to first be acceptance of the real. There has to be some sense of what the ideal is. Then you have to develop a program for getting from the real to ideal. That's choice. Once you've accepted the addiction, you can now start making choices. What do you want to do about it? That's Bechira. It's beginnings of Bechira. There's degrees of Bechira.
Are the Gedolim addicted to like any part of their life, internet activity wise, or are they always?
You have to ask them. The Sholem, the Adam Sholem, if there is such a thing today, the Adam Sholem is functioning purely out of Bechira. In the areas that he doesn't have Bechira, so in those areas, he's not Sholem. I don't know what the Gedolim Israel struggles are. No idea what their ordeals are. You can ask them.
But they would see they would see doing things, or you know, automatically as being a lack of, I mean, you know, being negative in terms of.
I'm sure that my own Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur Mislama Rav Elasher Klap Salchet. Or he thinks no, he's pot. I mean, I don't know. I never send the whole Yagun into Klap Salchet for. Who was the last year that I mean? But those are the Chofetz Chaim Erev Yom Kippur sitting and crying because he couldn't account for 10 minutes in his year. He had 10 minutes he couldn't account for him. That was devastating.
Wow.
They told the story, they told about Moshe Shmuel Shapiro. Rav Lehman spoke about him in the Shabbos. So the Rav of the Shtot in the Yaakov used to go every Erev Yom Kippur to go get a brocha, to go Bishim Gid Yontif and to get a brocha Erev Yom Kippur. And the 1 year he's very busy, whatever. And he never got to him Erev Yom Kippur. So he thought he'll go early morning before davening, he'll go into the Rosh Hashanah's house to get his brochen to wish him good yontif. So he arrived there, I don't know, at 5 o'clock in the morning or whatever, and the door was open. So he kind of like sneaked in quietly and he walked in. And there was Rav Moshe Shmuel sitting, and yeah, he had a big pile of petek, little notes. He was sitting there in his kittel and his talus, and he was taking them, he was opening the petek, and he was like, clapping the chait, and then putting it down. It's another petek. So you understand, he had a whole pile of petek. This is Moshe Shmuel. I mean, you're talking about somebody, you can't imagine what his sins were. So his son said, the Shiva, his son said, they opened one of the peteks. He remembered, he found one of the peteks. What was written in the petek? Rega achas, I can't remember the exact losha. A moment, v'machshavas ha-toira. Caught himself with a moment where he wasn't thinking of learning. Al chayit, a little Torah. A moment, a rega. I think he used the loshon rega. I can't remember exactly the loshon he used. Remind me, I'll ask the person again.
Standard, we could have had 20,000 petics with rega.
That was his ordeal. That's his ordeal. The whole year, that was his ordeal. He didn't have ordeals of looking in the streets when he was walking. I don't know. He never walked in the streets. I don't know. He didn't have our struggles. Mr. Shachris. You know, kicked the dog, screamed at my wife. I don't know what he's struggling with. I don't know what people out there are struggling with. But believe me, I don't clap al chait on Yom Kippur unless it says so in the art scroll sort of, you know, video for dummies or whatever, you know, whatever you buy the whatever. I'm just saying. Unless it says they're Bikkel Torah, trust me, I'm Bikkel Torah, but I clap al chait for it. But one moment when I had, you know, I didn't have machshavas of Torah in my head, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but that's not what I'm running around like, you know, losing sleep over. I should be, maybe, I don't know, but I'm not. I have much more bigger problems right now than that.
They surely have enough problems. The same as
the bigger the person, the greater the Yetzer Hara. It's all a fact. So I don't know. The Gedolei Yisrael wrote about the nisoinus that they had there with women and this and that and the different stuff. I don't know what his struggle is. I don't know what your struggle is. I'm not even convinced that I know what my struggle is. I'm going to try to find out what the next guy's struggle is. Just trying to find out what my bechir is. It's very hard to get into another person's dalai lamas to work out, but I'm just telling you, that was what he was clapping al chayt for 5 o'clock in the morning. A little moment of Hesech Hadas, that was it. Rega achas shel Hesech Hadas mitayra. One moment of my head went up. I wasn't thinking and learning. Boch Hashem, we're part of the same nation as that man. Do you understand what that means? It means the people in my team that are holding there. That's fantastic. I'm not holding there. Who says I have to be holding there? But I'm on the same side as him. That's brilliant. That gives me so much chizuk, man. I'm on the same team as him. That's brilliant. We're the Jewish people. This is who we're part of. wonder what Ariel Sharon or somebody, let's say one of the leaders of the secular Jewish people, wonder what they were clapping on Chait for Yom Kippur. That refinement, that what a shame. Isn't that great?
Check what we were struggling with 3 years ago or 20 years ago, and now see what we're struggling with
today. You get an airplane to go home, and the guy sits down next to him, takes a bite out of his bread, all without making a broch, and you kind of like, you get a fright. Wow, how did that happen? Mm-hmm. Oh, you see the sensitivity? Oh, shit. No, can we just go back to being miserable again, man?
No, in the same way as I could have seen 3 years ago, I have no shakas, no understanding of what this Yonis I was dealing with, what I've been dealing with, as I'm dealing with today. It couldn't have seen what a different economy, but still, that doesn't mean today that since I've grown it, I don't still have big problems the same as we can't see where they're, but they have not. They have not.
I've already had this, of course. If they were having no more struggles, there's no point in keeping them around.
No, but Josh asked if they have addictions and stuff. Of course they do.
On their level, their thing, whatever, and their what's called Chil Shabbos by them, and what's called Hesed, Lefi, each one according to his darga. David HaMelech gets whipped for pride. Okay? This is a man that the Torah testifies about was less lay Megal Miklum. He had nothing of his own. He, but on his level, and was demanded from him, there was already too much of a shtick pride. For us to be on that level would be probably the greatest mitzvah to be holding on that aveira of pride. And if I could do that aveira that he was doing with Bami, it would be a mitzvah. So of course the greater the person, it's a different thing. Each one's different, you know. You don't know his nisoinus, you don't know where he came from, you don't know his battle. And by the way, you're getting paid for how much you change. You know, that Maisa Barab Shmuel Abach, who came to a Shatora or whatever, and went into a class to teach, and he came out half an hour later crying. So Berkut said to him, well, Berkut, some of this mice. He said, well, is everything okay? He said, I went in there, we learnt up a sugya, I asked one of the guys a question. One of the guys asked me a question, I asked him a question from the answer, whatever. I could see the guy's almost got to the heart of the sugya. So I asked him how long he'd been learning for. He said, like 3 years or whatever. So I started crying because he's changed more than 3 years and I've changed in my whole life. Shmuel Abach said this.
Why do you see the entire world though that is the Tom Chacham is the one who's looked up to. He's the we don't see the right art because we can't determine who's been great. And can't determine
the guy who knows the most, and the guy he's the guy that we look up to because he's the guy that's got more access to Kosh Bokhu's
God. The second one as well, the guy that's in the biggest way is the guy that looks up to because he's made himself.